Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. Steven, how you doing, man?
Good, good. A lot of traveling this week, so, you know, just trying to remember exactly where I'm at and where I'm going to be in the next couple of days, but good, good. No complaints.
Well, glad you're back home. Where to begin?
Well, first of all, we don't have a whiskey review, and the reason for that should probably be clear. You know, we try to do a couple shows a week, and you know, we do a show every week, and so we can't necessarily have a new bottle every week. That would get relatively pricey over the course of the year. So
true.
You know, we got to take a break from that. You know, I was thinking about that, and you know, we theoretically we could, but then we have like a lot of open bottles, and it would be
right.
You know, but so there's not a review. I have a Larceny bourbon, which we talked about on the show prior to this, which is it's a quality bourbon. I think bang for your buck, hard to beat, and I'm gonna roll with that for the show, and we can go ahead and jump into.
And I'm having a Manhattan made with 10 High bourbon, which is my favorite cheap bourbon. Don't go there. Don't. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. So we have to talk about Roy Moore because everyone is. And that we talked about him a bit last show, and there have been some really bizarre turns in that story. The biggest of which is a woman claims that he sexually assaulted her when she was 16, gave a very detailed description. I do want to be careful about, you know, trying everything in the court of public opinion. This, you know, there's due process for a reason, but this looks really bad.
Well, it's alleged, and also I want to point out that, you know, when we were ending that conversation, I had pointed out that there was something else coming around the pike, and Roy Moore had been asked about it. He refused to comment on it, and, you know, then we have the story of him in this just bizarre, you know, pretty... predatory situation with a 16-year-old girl when he was in his 30s. It's to the point now where even Sean Hannity has, you know, come out. He came out Monday or Tuesday and kind of asked Roy Moore for an explanation because of the inconsistencies in his story. And we'll come back to Hannity
I can't wait.
But, I mean, this story is now, listen, I think... what you just said is very important. The fact that we don't want to try this in the court of public opinion. Because this sounds very bad. And it doesn't look good. There's a lot of... There's some meat here. There's a lot of smoke. And so where there tends to be smoke, there tends to be fire. But we have to be careful because this could just be a hit job by somebody on the left. By the Washington Post. By the DNC. By... you know, any, you know, somebody who doesn't like Roy Moore or, you know, this could be, you know, something from Hillary Clinton's camp, right? Just to screw over Bannon, right? Because Steve Bannon and Breitbart, they're huge supporters of Roy Moore. And that is just not rolling off my tongue, right? Roy Moore. You know, we have to be careful. And I mean, people can flip it easily. You know, conservatives can flip this easily. And go to somebody like Joe Biden, right, and start throwing claims out against him. Not that it's true. Now, here's the thing with Joe Biden. There are plenty images, like video, of him at, you know, different ceremonies and things just awkwardly touching young girls and women and smelling their hair and saying weird shit to them, like, no serious dating before you're 30, right? And, I mean, I watched clip after clip after clip of him awkwardly touching and smelling women's hair to the point where it freaked me out, right?
Like, okay.
So, I mean, all I'm saying is you got to be careful with this because what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I think it's worth looking into, but the problem is what are you, we're past, again, we're past the statute of limitations.
Right.
You know, the statute of limitations is expired. There's no criminal investigation here. There's no civil
lawsuit.
You know, right? Lawsuit. There's no civil case that's going to come of this. So how much are we going to dig into it? We're not going to, you know, unless someone comes with, you know, some sort of physical evidence that this happened. Like to say, like, these are the underwear that I was wearing where, you know, Roy Moore touched me inappropriately or did something else. You know, there's no Monica Lewinsky blue dress.
Right. But there is, all right, so here's one thing that I'm really kind of excited about in this case. The woman making these accusations claims that he signed her yearbook and mentioned that she was like the best waitress at the place that he has claimed he never did that, that he's never met this girl or woman now, and that he never signed the yearbook. So if they can produce that, we can just say, okay, you are a flat-out fucking liar. Here's, and there's all kinds of testing that can be done. To me, if a 32-year-old signs a yearbook, they should be not allowed to hold public office just based on that alone. Like, you're signing yearbooks and you're 32 years old.
Right.
I'm just being a dick there, but yeah, really, but who signs a fucking
yearbook? Well, again, you're right. Now, I guess you could make an argument that, you know, he was a prosecutor, state's attorney, or whatever, and so maybe.
Okay, but okay. Still. But if a signature is in her yearbook and it turns out to be valid, then Roy Moore is a stone-cold liar, and I hope he's exposed for that.
Right.
Now, if as Roy Moore's lawyer claims that the whole thing is a forgery and a fake, that will get shown. And that will make the accuser have no validity in my mind. I mean, you can't show me a bloody glove and then say it's actually a sock with ketchup on it and it never happened. I mean, you can't.
Right. I agree with you on that front. And again, that's why I'm saying we have to be careful with just assuming, because there's plenty of political and financial reasons for this to be going on. Not necessarily for the accusers, but I mean, there's a lot of different angles for this. I mean, yes, could the accusers be getting paid off by somebody? Absolutely. But there are other people.
They could also be getting paid and telling the truth. We should not exclude that.
Yes, there's plenty of reasons of someone could be paying the accusers for one way or another.
Right.
At the same time, there are other people who have financial gain in Roy Moore being in that seat and Roy Moore not being in that seat, right? And so it's so convoluted,
right?
That you know people are going to say, well, we have to wait till the dust settles, we have to wait till we figure it out, and blah blah blah. But the problem is, there is no course of action that's going to bring us to the truth. I think the closest thing we get to is seeing this yearbook and seeing, I think that she has shown
pictures of it.
They've shown pictures of it. So that and the other question is, who has the authority to grab that and test it and figure out its validity?
Gloria Allred went on CNN and said that they want a Senate hearing for this and that they will show their evidence when the time is appropriate. If I'm the accuser, I am getting that thing sealed in a vault, because I would be very afraid of someone trying, if it exists, to me, again, that's a smoking gun that Roy Moore probably did this and is definitely a liar.
Yes. And so, and on those grounds, I think you can sit him down from the Senate race. And, you know, so now the Republicans have a major problem, because that pretty much hands that Alabama right. seat to the Democrat.
Well, and I mean, they could do a write-in campaign.
Who are they going to? Well, right now, I don't
either
even.
Jeff Sessions or Luther Strange.
Yeah, but I think at this point in time, it's so short. The timeline is so tough. Short.
Oh, yeah.
That it would be hard pressed for them. Like, you can do that. But I think the chances of victory are greatly diminished.
And I mean, I'm making some assumptions here, but I think it's safe to say that one of the reasons why Jeff Sessions was attractive as Attorney General to Trump is
because they assumed that they could replace that seat with another Republican.
Because if the Senate goes 51-49, that changes a whole bunch of things. You just need one,
right?
Actually, you need two, because the Vice President's the tiebreaker in the Senate. But, I mean, right now, you need three senators to not go along with a given piece of legislation. That goes to two with this seat going the other way. So there, the stakes are huge.
Yes.
And that brings us to what you were talking about before. This is one of my favorite stories of recent memory. So Roy Moore goes on Sean Hannity's show and
Fox
gives a
News. It's on Fox News.
Yes, and gives a very
wishy-washy.
Yes, a defense of, you know, well, that doesn't sound like something I would do, and that's not in my character. When asked,
I don't remember that, right?
You know, did you force yourself on a 14-year-old? Well, I don't think I would normally do that. Well, you know, you ask me that, I can just go, no.
Right.
And that should be the answer. So as a result, a few sponsors pulled their ads from Sean Hannity's show, among them Keurig coffee makers. Now, I hate Keurig coffee makers because of their environmental impact, but that's me being an environmental guy. But several people were so upset at Keurig for doing this that they took their Keurig machines, destroyed them in various ways, took videos of it, and then tweeted them to an applauding Sean Hannity. And I think
Keurig, by the way.
Yes. That is the funniest thing ever to me. That someone would take a $100-whatever machine and beat the shit out of it on tape with a baseball bat because you're proving a point.
Let me explain this to you people. You went out and you bought a Keurig. You used it. Okay? Then something happened that you didn't like. You threw a temper tantrum and you broke it. And somehow you think that the company that made money off of said Keurig that you paid for cares what the fuck you do with it after.
You know, they're probably thrilled you broke it because you're might going to go out and buy a new one.
Well, I mean, in reality, you're doing them a favor because, like, with Keurigs, like, they break all the time. So when you break them, like, usually you can take them back and get them replaced, like, barely even having to prove that, you know, something was wrong. Like, you have to bring it back in one piece.
When you light it on fire or beat it with a baseball bat, that's
exactly
probably
like
tough.
When you go Office Space on it, then you typically don't get it back. So, I mean, I think to a degree, I mean, you did Keurig a favor because it's just like, well, at least we don't have to push a bunch of free ones. Now. You know, it was really stupid. I think that people like the idea of it being symbolic and everything else, but all you did was force yourself to go out and have to buy a new coffee maker.
And I think if you're going to do those sorts of things, maybe getting the caffeine level in your life down is a good thing. So you might have done a good thing clinically.
It was a move to show solidarity.
It was a controlled stage temper tantrum, is how I would call it.
That's exactly what it was. Now, listen, liberals and the people on the left cannot really wave to. I mean, some of the shit, the protests and the things that I see, you know, watching the shit online, and whether it's a smaller group or whatever, it's not that much better. I mean, and then you could also go to, you know, when things go really bad with a protest, you know, protest goes to a riot and, you know, I mean, stores get burned and cars get burned. It's just like, okay, well, that sucks. I mean, I'm pretty sure that person's car you burned did not cause your oppression. So, you know, I mean, I get it. But, I mean, you know, again, pot, meat, kettle.
Well, that, and we've talked many times on the show about what's a good protest and what's an ineffective protest.
This falls in the super far ineffective protest.
All it did is make you look like idiots and make Sean Hannity look like the puppet master for a bunch of idiots. Your balls are also no longer sponsoring the Hannity show. So go out and whack yourself with the balls and put that on TV, please.
Oh, I was like, wait, my balls.
Your balls are not relevant to this particular story.
So, you know, so a little bit more about the story. So Keurig, when this all broke out because someone tweeted Keurig and said, you know, hey, Sean Hannity had this interview and he's supporting a child molester. And Keurig replied and said, we'll look into it and we don't condone that sort of behavior and we're going to pull our ad. And so Keurig then came back and issued a statement where they apologized in general for essentially airing their dirty laundry, right? Like, we shouldn't have said openly on Twitter that we were going to pull our ad. We should have used the proper channels to go between our media relations person and then the Fox News channel and Sean Hannity's show and, you know, done it the appropriate way and just pull our ad and then, you know, if a statement goes out, then fine, a statement goes out, but we shouldn't have done it over Twitter. Sean Hannity is kind of touting that as an apology to him. So he then told his Keurig, you know, hating, you know, followers to back off of their protest. And then Sean Hannity went out and bought 500 Keurigs to give to people who destroyed their Keurigs.
I think he bought 500 coffee makers. I don't know that they were from Keurig. I thought he said, I thought he plotted and said, I'm buying 500.
I'm pretty sure that they were actually Keurigs.
That's awesome if they were. That's not what I understood. I thought he was like going to their competition or whatever.
Don't correct me while I'm having a fucking good story. So he goes out and he buys these 500 Keurigs, which I'm just going to stand by and you're going to fucking take it. And but then Keurig is still not advertising with his show. Right? Like that's the, right. You know, I mean, like, so, but he's taking it as an apology. Now, then he's come back again and said, Roy Moore, I'm going to need you to answer some of these questions.
And because, bring me some coffee because you did this shit to me.
Right. Like you screwed me here. You know, one of my loyal fans stole my Keurig machine and broke it. And now I need a new Keurig. And oh, by the way, like now that I look back at the interview and I think what happened, Hannity is such a cheese dick. It's unbelievable, right? Like, I mean, I hate that. I mean, there's just nothing else to. He's such a like he's one of those people who realize get in Trump's corner,
right,
and run with it because there was a groundswell of support that I think if people would have taken their kind of elitist blinders off, then you would have saw what was happening. It was right in front of everybody's face. We talked about this during the campaign, during the election. I think that people were just so blinded by what they thought they knew as opposed to what was literally punching them in the face. And so Hannity, while he, I think, is a performing buffoon.
I've called him a mimbo in the past, and I stand by
but
that.
But he is an intelligent guy. And I
disagree.
Okay. Well, I think he's an intelligent enough guy. Listen, he's making more money than he ever has off of jumping on the Trump bandwagon.
True.
And he did it early, and he stuck by it. And he realizes that essentially now he can literally, the only thing Sean Hannity can do wrong at this point is to turn on Trump. That's the only thing that he can do wrong to stop his money train from continuing down this, you know, never ending ride. Right. I mean, until Trump is out of office. So I think that, you know, with Hannity and all this, what it's just more evidence of the level of support for just Trump, this administration and this movement by this neoconservative crowd. That, you know, we're not going to be bullied by leftist media, by leftist corporations. We're gonna fight the power.
Elitist New York Times people, yeah.
All that stuff. And that's, I mean, it's a good example. And, I mean, it's powerful. And now, this has happened before in the last year where certain media organizations or certain corporations initially pulled out and then they got back in and, you know, with O'Reilly and Fox and pretty much everything with Fox. But, you know, those advertisers got back in when they saw things like Hannity's show taking off and Tucker Carlson and everybody else. So, you know, they kind of stand by their principles, but their main principle is making money.
Their only principle is making money.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, so that's really where they're standing by their principles.
Have you ever not bought a product because it was advertised on someone you didn't like's program? Because I haven't.
I have avoided certain products because certain people have promoted them. I definitely have.
I mean,
I can give you a prime example.
Okay, good.
Not a Michael Jordan fan. I'm not.
And okay.
I never.
Is that because your days in Chicago?
No, because okay. I hated,
Cavaliers fan. Okay.
I hated Michael Jordan as a young Cavaliers fan, watching him make that shot over Craig Elo. A lot of it early was I couldn't afford him. My family couldn't afford him, and I couldn't afford him. And, you know, when I made enough money in my teenage years, you know, working pizza shop, landscaping, right, all that other shit, I wasn't going to spend my money on Jordans. Fuck that guy. I hated him, so I bought Barclays instead. And then once I got older, I just refused. Like,
I won't buy Nike because of their labor practices.
Oh, well, that again, you're
I'm me.
Fucking cheese dick. But I just I'm shitting on my principles.
Do not call me by the same name you just called Sean Hannity. Me a different insult if you're going to call
me. Because of my beef with Michael Jordan, and my beef with Michael Jordan is strictly basketball related.
Okay.
Hated him as a player, and I just am not buying his shoes. Screw him. He screwed my team.
Okay. But all right, so that's not buying a celebrity endorsed product.
Same difference.
It is. It well,
it's the same thing. It's literally the same thing.
The difference is if Sean Hannity says I'm Sean Hannity for Keurig, that's one thing. The Keurig puts an ad on Sean Hannity's show and pays him money.
Yeah, you're right. So I guess the problem is so many of these brands advertise on so many different platforms that it's hard to avoid. So, I mean, if you go by that logic, then you would isolate yourself,
right?
Which is, I guess, there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm sure you could find something that you hate about all these corporations and something in the way that they do.
I'm guessing Keurig advertised on MSNBC as well.
Exactly. You know, and that is just as much of a reason. I mean, there's plenty of bullshit on MSNBC as well. They advertise across all those platforms. They advertise right. on Sirius.
I mean, if you're watching political shit, you're probably, or you have a good chance of being a
comedy drinker. Hold on. Actually, I can tell you, listening to like the Patriot Channel on all Sirius, right. like a lot of the shit that they advertise,
a lot of it's dumb. You know, don't you want to buy your prepper 4,000 gallons of, pre-cooked right. spaghetti that'll hold you off through the Obama zombie-induced apocalypse. I'm like, no. I would never buy an Alex Jones product because I think he's not because if I thought his products were good, if you came in here and said to me, I tried the Alex Jones thing that turns my body orange, even though it looks exactly the same in my before and after picture stuff, and it had great whatever. If you told me that, I would say, okay, Steve tried this. If it was,
I'm going to need you to stand by your principles. If I come in saying that I bought something from Alex Jones, I need you to, one, not buy it. And two, I need you to... You may need to use one of these guns in the house.
I'll use the older one. We'll use the really old one. All right. But you see my point. I mean, that's a celebrity-endorsed product. That's a celebrity-created product.
So there's a difference. There's definitely a difference there between the Jordan brand and then something that's advertised on a show. So you're right. But I guess, again, like the Patriot Channel, that's the other kind of extreme that doesn't quite fit. But like there's a lot of shit that I hear advertised.
But it's usually because, buy the Donald Trump commemorative coin, which I believe exists. I'm almost sure I've heard that advertised on the Patriot Channel.
I mean, he's a president, so.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. So speaking of President Trump and some not so great foreign relations, Lorenzo Ball's kid, whose name I'm drawing a blank on, and two other UCLA basketball players were...
I think it's LeVar Ball. And then you're thinking Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball's the dad, sorry.
No. LeVar Ball is the dad.
Lonzo's the kid, is the Lakers. Kid
playing out with the Lakers.
And then their younger brother, who's with UCLA.
Yes.
And two of his teammates were accused of shoplifting while on a basketball-related event in China.
Jim, they were trying to get some Louis Vuitton glasses, son.
Which are fake Louis Vuitton glasses in China. But I'm sure they look the same.
They could have saved themselves a lot of trouble and just got back to L.A.,
bought the Chinese-made Louis Vuittons.
Right, gone 15 minutes down the road from their campus and got the same thing, probably cheaper.
I have a Giorgio Armani dress shirt that my friend ordered from China and didn't fit him, so he gave it to me or sold it to me. It's not the real deal, yeah. But it was from China, and I was like, Tom, this ain't legit. Tom's a big guy. I've talked about it to you, and he bought like a double extra large, and the double extra large is tight on me, and he's got roughly the dimensions of you. And he's like, Jimmy, I can't wear these. I paid $20. What do you think? I'm like, yeah, they look great. I'll take it. All right, but anyway, so first of all, hey, kids, when you go to China, don't do dumb shit like this. You could go to jail for a long fucking time. And
listen, I think... my initial reaction is the old school parent reaction of, well, stay your ass over there. Figure it out. Now, because it's China, and we've all seen enough spy movies about what happens to spies in China, i.e. Spy Game, Spy Games with Robert Redford and Brad Pitt, I could argue that it's not a good idea to go to China and shoplift. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just not a good.
Way to go on a limb there.
I can make that argument. Don't like. And part of this is they're young and they're dumb.
Right.
And, you know, some want to say it's this generation, millennial, XYZ, whatever.
My generation, I was dumb when I was 20.
Every just young teenage, college age kids do dumb shit. And when you are a basketball player on a Power Five conference team, a major college basketball team, you get everything handed to you, you're pampered your entire life, your older brother plays for the Lakers, your dad's on TV all the time talking you up, talking your brother up, you always have scouts and coaches up your ass, you know, up in the ante in terms of what they can do for you, and you go to China and you've got tour guides and people, you know, waiting on you essentially hand and foot.
Right.
Then you have this sense of I can do whatever I want.
And I think another thing that happens, and this is just human nature, when you go to another country, you feel like you're kind of in another world and you're maybe not as smart with what you do. I mean,
which maybe
you should be more on guard.
I think, you have to be more acutely aware of what's going on around you, what your surroundings are. And what the consequences are of your actions.
Especially because you are representing the country. Right,
you're representing your university. You're representing a country. But the problem is we're dealing, again, with, you know, kids between the ages of 18 and 21.
Right.
Who, you know, who haven't developed that sense of awareness yet. Who haven't developed that maturity. Now, not all, but clearly these kids haven't. Because, you know, the flip side of it is that they had, you know, 15 other team or 12 other teammates who were there, who didn't do anything stupid, right? I mean, that they got busted for. So,
right.
I mean, and we have Olympic athletes who represent us all over the world multiple times a year and who never get in trouble for anything stupid. Now the one exception.
Some do.
You know, there's a couple exceptions. Ryan Lochte comes to mind. You know, he down in Brazil, he makes up the story where they got robbed and all this other shit. And
turns out they got drunk and trashed a bathroom, right?
Right. And what's his excuse? Because he's not even young, right? I mean, Ryan Lochte is... You know,
yeah, 26 or something.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 26, 27. I mean, he's
19 to 26 is a very important 7 years.
Fair, but that's
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, all right. Ryan Lochte. I mean, this is nothing new for Ryan Lochte in terms of being on an international stage,
right?
And he's as an Olympic athlete, you're made very aware of the consequences of your actions and what can happen to you. So,
Literally wearing your country's clothing. I mean,
because at some point in time, I think you're living at the, you know, U.S. Olympic facility, and then before you go, and they have classes on what to do and what not to do, and essentially the what not to do is anything. Don't do anything.
And I would hope that UCLA did the same thing. By the way, you'd hope that it was like, kids, over there, don't. I got a great idea. Steal sunglasses.
Having being a college athlete and going on road trips, you know, to just different states. Yeah, I mean, we had these conversations just on, you know, for a 2-hour bus trip. You know, if we were going to, you know, wherever we were going, you know, even, I mean, going to fucking Vermont, you know, or Maine or whatever.
Right.
So I think these kids had a really stupid moment. And, you know, there's a consequence for it. It's not the worst case scenario consequence, right?
Could have gone really bad.
Well, because shoplifting in China, I believe, is punishable by like 5 to 7 years in prison.
I mean, Trump said 10 years in his tweet. We'll get to that in a minute.
Whatever.
Exactly. All right, let's just say that they were pleading not guilty, and I don't know what the Chinese system of justice is. It was very possible that they would have been told, you can't leave this country until this is resolved. And if their legal system is half as slow as ours, they could have spent, in a best case scenario, you know, multiple days in jail in China waiting for their day in court.
Multiple days?
We're
talking at least months to get this resolved. I will say this. Trump stepped in, got these kids out. Right. I mean,
he deserves credit for that.
Right. I mean, he stepped in and said, they're dumb kids. Like, I'm here. Like, let's not turn this into a thing. Like, it's not worth it. Like, let's just move on. And I think that, and listen, he did that. And that's, I would hope that he would. Now, here's the thing. I mean, there's other stories of, you know, the kid who came back from North Korea that we couldn't get back, who when they finally gave him back to us, you know,
he died from brain trauma
and injury and everything else. I mean, so this could have been really bad for those kids. I applaud Trump for being able to, you know, reach out and say something, and then I applaud the Chinese government for letting this go, you know, kind of as time served, lesson learned, because I think the kids ended up spending 3 days in jail in China or under Chinese
control, house arrest or whatever.
I don't know.
I think they were confined to their hotel room.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, could be worse. But listen, it worked out for them. They were suspended when they got back, which I'm glad. I don't know how long the suspension is. Hopefully it's lengthy.
Right now they said they're suspended indefinitely. Right. So and until a ranked opponent comes to UCLA, I think.
I would say suspend them through the new year. You know, I mean, they don't play a game until after January 1, which I think is, I mean, because we still have the rest of November, all of December. There's plenty of games to be played until that time. I mean, I think that's long enough so that they learn their lesson. And then you move on from it.
I agree. And though, so I want to give Trump credit for doing the right thing. Although Trump being Trump, he of course then had to tweet out, "Do you think these kids will thank me?" So he kind of couldn't help but take credit for it and sort of throw out the, you know, these kids aren't going to appreciate me, even though they did specifically thank him.
Right. It's just
a Trump being Trump.
God, he's so petty.
Petty and needing attention and needing credit. Like, I did the right thing. I'm not hearing enough people give me credit for it. So let me shine a light on it so I get credit again. Right?
Real housewife of Washington, D.C.
Right thing, but you're a petty person. Right. And I'll stop. That's as far as I'll go with that. All right. So.
Okay. So just again, our last little, you know, public service announcement. Kids, when you go to foreign countries, right, and this goes from kids from the ages of like 10 to apparently 30, thanks to Ryan Lochte, let's not do anything stupid that's going to get us arrested, right? Like in a lot of these countries, there are laws you don't even know about that can get you arrested, more or less the shit that you know you shouldn't do, like steal from a store, right? Or tear up a bathroom while you're fucking hammered, or, you know, piss on a guard or any, you know, just keep your heads, kids.
All right.
I want to talk next about, there's a rapper, his name's Meek Mill. And Meek Mill was on probation. Now, he was doing, this is about year 10 of him being on probation. Now, it's not 10 consecutive years of probation, but he committed a pretty serious crime back in, I don't know, I want to say 2005 or 6.
Okay.
There was a gun charge and he was, you know, there were some police involved. So, you know, fortunately the kid didn't get shot, but he ended up, he got like 5 years of probation.
Okay.
Meek Mill, he's a rapper out of Philadelphia. So this happened in Philadelphia. But so he got a 5-year probation sentence, and then like he did a couple years in jail, 5 years probation. Then he violated that probation. You know, I think that violation of the probation, there was like a drug charge, and I believe he had like gone out of state and some other things. And so then he got like another 5 years of probation on top of that. So he's looking at 10 years of probation. And then recently, you know, I think earlier this spring, he got busted for doing wheelies on a dirt bike down a public street in Philadelphia. He put it on social media. Police figured out who he was and busted him on a probation violation. And he was brought in. The judge sentenced him to 2 to 4 years in jail for violating his probation. Now, you know, when you're on probation, essentially, like one of the terms is don't get arrested. Well, he got arrested for this. And so that's what they use to put him in jail for 2 to 4 years. Now, most people are saying 2 to 4 years for popping a wheelie down the street, even if it's a probation violation, is excessive. I tend to agree with that. I also agree with the idea that if you're on probation, don't do something stupid that can get you violated. And if you don't know that riding a dirt bike, popping a wheelie, you know, chances are riding a dirt bike down the street is probably illegal. But, you know, riding a dirt bike, popping a wheelie down, you know, Broad Street is also illegal. Right, when you put it together, we know that it's illegal. So,
Now, there were no injuries or anything associated with this. He was just, he put it on social media and that's how he got caught. So
Right.
So there's bad decision number three in this equation, right?
Right. Like, I mean, it's three to four. So on the one hand, there is the personal responsibility argument, which I will always push for. You know, you can sit here and give me the whole, the system is stacked against me or us or what have you. And I will tell you that if you're telling me that after you've done something stupid and got caught for it, then my sympathy levels for you are relatively low, right? I can empathize because I've been there, I've done stupid shit, and I get it, but I also own it, right? Like, I did it, I made this mistake, and I can't do that again. But, like, I'm not going to have any sympathy for you because, again, you did something wrong. Now, that statement being made, the system is completely fucked in the fact that popping a wheelie down the street gets you 2 to 4 years in prison.
Right.
Right. And that's the sort of thing when people talk about, you know, sentencing inequality and systemic racism, that's what people point to, right? Because you have to wonder, you have to look at people in like situations that, you know, if this was a white country kid down the street who was on probation for something, would this happen to him? Hard game to play here. Now, there's some other weird factors in this case. The judge in his case, she's under investigation by the FBI. Because she has connections to a rival record producer. Meek Mill is on Jay-Z's Rock label. And she has connections to a rival record label. And she essentially has tried to coerce Meek Mill to leave Jay-Z's record label, go to this other record label. And she's done it a couple different ways. The judge, yes.
How the fuck does that judge get on this? All right.
Well, again, under investigation by the FBI, and there's a lot of questions as to, you know, her ability to actually not
adjudicate fairly, right? I mean,
and so it's just there's a lot of question marks here. So while you first want to say, listen, don't put yourself in this position. And I'm not a fan of Meek Mill. I'm not. Like, I think I don't like his delivery. I don't like his flows. I don't like his lyrics. I really don't like him. He's annoying to me in so many different levels. But in this particular instance, I will stand up for him and say, I don't think this judge should be on this case. And I think that if you get a judge who doesn't have the sort of personal connections to and the like kind of clear just clouded judgment, then I would say, like, if you got someone in here who was impartial, then I think we probably wouldn't have him in jail for 2 to 4 years. You know, maybe he does 6 months for the parole violation, or if that.
Yeah. See, I like Meek Mill's early stuff, but then I think you got
Jim. Just stop. Just stop. Just fucking stop.
When that popped in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna have fun with this. Yeah, but it does seem excessive, and it does seem like, you know, okay, state of Pennsylvania, did you make the streets safer because you stopped a wheelie popping rapper from, you know, popping a wheelie again and putting it on Facebook?
Yeah, seems crazy. It does seem crazy, and I guess the real story is probably behind what's going on with the judge in this case.
I didn't know that, and that is nuts. I mean, isn't that like textbook 101? If you are personally involved with this person from a financial level, you can't be a judge of them. I mean, I get, well, like you said, she's under investigation from the FBI, but if that's not cause to recuse yourself from a case, I don't know what is. So yes, this does have a lot of the stink of the legal system being stilted against a black kid. But
so,
is it the legal system or is it one particular judge in this case?
So her name is Janice Brinkley. And so first, she asked to be in one of Meek Mill's songs. She wanted him to...
Oh my goodness, this is fucking crazy.
She wanted him to redo a Boys to Men song, I'm not sure which one it is, and then give her a shout out in the song.
Shout out to Janice Brinkley?
Yeah, this is according to Heavy.com. According to TMZ, Meek's lawyer says Judge Brinkley also once asked Meek to do a remix to a Boys to Men song and to give her a shout out on it, and that her harsh sentence was a result of him refusing to do so.
All right, this strikes me as a failure of the legal system for her to have the chance to be involved in
this
case.
To even be involved on
that, I didn't read enough, apparently. That is crazy.
Yes. Now, I guess she does have a strong, she has a consistent history of, you know, sentencing people to, you know, prison for probation violations. But it seems to be like there's a little bit something fishy going on here. You know, I mean.
Right. I mean, okay. So I don't know enough. I do know that when you're on parole or on probation and you screw up, the system is not kind. And I understand why. This strikes me as a particularly, you know, weird, you know, application because, again, it was caught by social media that he put out there. So I was like, dude.
I mean, how is no one screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs? Conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Everything about you is a conflict of interest.
Jeff Sessions recused himself from anything related to the Russia investigation because, like, I can't do this. And everyone in Congress said, you did the right thing there. How, to me, this should be disbarred, almost, you know, cause for disbarment, right?
Well, and again, I think it is important.
I need to know more.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to know that it's caught the attention of the FBI, right? Like, right. So if it's caught the attention of the FBI, right? Like, I mean, it's not like the FBI is out there just rooting for black guys to not go to jail. So I think if the FBI is looking at a judge, and in this instance, a judge that is particularly harsh on, you know, sending black men to jail for probation violations, which, again, you got to be responsible and, you know, not put yourself in that situation, but shit happens. So, you know, there should be a consequence, but should the consequence be you lose years of your life in prison? I mean, you know, I mean, if she's sending them to jail, to prison for 2 to 4 years for minor probation violations, then I think there's plenty of questions to be asked about her ability to adjudicate fairly, her conflicts of interest, and kind of, you know, is she actually doing her job? Is she serving the public good? I mean, I think the answer to that is no. She's not doing any of it right.
I mean, I'm very in tune to legal proceedings because of my recent time on jury duty. And so I'm just now imagining the judge in the case I was on knowing the defendant and having a beef with him. And how, I mean, holy shit, That's crazy. And I know it's different. It's a probation thing. So there's no jury. There's no, I mean, it's, you violated your probation. Here's the thing. And your access to due process is way different.
Right.
You know, pre-conviction versus when you're on probation.
I mean, because some of the arguments.
But isn't his lawyer also, I mean, how does his lawyer let that happen?
I mean, his lawyer is doing everything that his lawyer can. I mean, I think that, you know, the lawyer isn't anticipating that you're going to be doing wheelies down the street, you know, while you're on probation.
But how does the lawyer let the judge get into? I mean,
the judge had the case to begin with. So I mean,
so does her involvement in the case to begin with, in part, how she tries to insert herself into all his, you know, put me in a song, whatever. So did she use her judicial position to get into the situation? My guess is probably yes, because otherwise it's a hell of a coincidence.
Yes.
Okay.
So I mean, if you're saying, did she use her judicial influence to particularly be assigned to the case?
No. Did she use her assignment to the case and her judicial influence or judicial powers to try to gain financially by getting into his songs and getting?
Oh, okay.
She must have, right?
I don't know if she asked him, I don't know if she wanted money for, you know, this shout out or whatever, or she just wanted some sort of, you know, street cred or what. I don't know.
What a weird story.
I mean, but it's just bizarre. I was just like, how, I don't know how you not bring it up. Now, I mean, the judge, she is an African-American. She's black. She's, so that adds another layer of bizarreness to it. You know, I mean, because, I mean, just you're seeing a black judge exploit a black man. And I think that has to be called out just as much as a white judge it's hard to quantify it, but I mean, like, if you got a white judge who's just overtly racist, right, and then just says any black guy that comes through my court get it on a probation violation is going to jail for 4 years, period, right, we'd be screaming racism, we'd be screaming, you know, he's not performing his duties and everything else. And I think in this situation, I think it's still systemic racism, and that she has this power. She's using it. She's abusing it. And she's trying. And then the fact that this whole thing with her wanting to be in a song, her being, you know, having ties to other record labels and trying to convince him to move record labels. I think
wow,
it's a mess.
Yeah. Let's stay on top of this because I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah. I mean, what I imagine is that she's either going to cave to the pressure to reduce his sentence.
Can she though? Could she just change her mind and say, I'm sure she can.
I mean, there's an appeals process. And so, you know, through the appeals process, you know, hopefully cooler heads prevail. I mean, I think there still needs to be some sort of punishment for him. Like, okay, you know, go to, I mean, 30 days in jail or something. Because part of it is, listen, we can talk about being punished too harshly, but if we'll work on that. But in the meantime, do us a favor and not be an asshole.
That's fair.
Okay, do me a favor. Like, I'll fight for you. All right, I'll fight for you so this doesn't happen to you again. I'll fight for other people so this doesn't happen to them. But do me a favor and don't fuck me while I'm trying to help you. All right, that's part of my, like, because now, mind you, people are all upset because he had 10 years of probation. Well, he did, you know, 10 years worth of probation's worth of crimes to begin with. Like, the initial crime.
He didn't spend those years in prison. So.
Right. I mean, the initial crime was a gun charge with, you know, aggravated with all officers involved and everything else. Right. Like, so let's just, I'll fight for you. I will fight for you. We have to get the system reformed. We have to get these sentencing guidelines, you know, thrown out and changed and everything else. Fully agree on board. Just, you know, Jerry Maguire. Help me help you.
You know? Yeah.
Because essentially what you like, and this is what it sounds like. The way it sounds to me is, well, I don't like this thing that I don't like the fact that I can't ride a dirt bike down the street popping wheelies. I think it's a stupid rule. I should be able to do it, so I'm going to do it. And then when I do it and I get in trouble for it, then I'm going to tell you how it's a stupid rule and I don't want to be in trouble
I do want to say that it's entirely possible, and this is on him if this is the case, but it's entirely possible he didn't know he was breaking a law or breaking anything beyond a traffic violation. You're going to say, fuck off, it's your job to know that, or it's your responsibility to know that, and fine. But, and I need to know, I didn't watch the video. I didn't see if it was like an overtly, ridiculously dangerous act impacting others or if it was just being dumb. But this does seem very excessive to me.
I mean, it's not a driving down the street. You kind of get up on, you know, you get up on your heels a little bit and you sit back, rock back, pop a wheelie for, you know, 2 seconds, get the wheel back down and then go. I mean, it was pop a wheelie, sit back, and then look at me, you know. I
right,
mean,
but...
not right. Le- like, in the other part, I mean, dirt bikes aren't legal on the street, right? Like, I mean, right. It's a beef for Frank Jackson's grandson.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, we're building a dirt bike.
You gotta set that. That's the mayor of Cleveland.
Well, I'm trying to.
Okay.
The city of Cleveland is building a fucking dirt bike track because Frank Jackson's grandson and his band of roving dirt bike riders are riding around the city doing this exact thing, popping wheelies, and they're on four-wheelers and everything else, and it's disrupting traffic. It's not legal. You can't drive those things on the street. So the city of Cleveland, to appease the mayor's fucking grandson, is building a goddamn dirt bike track because that's what the city needs, is a dirt bike track.
That's why I voted for Reed. Anyway, all right, we're now getting a little local politics and stuff in there. Let's talk about a far more influential Cleveland representative. LeBron James was just in New York,
mm-hmm.
rode the subway for the first time, I guess is what he was saying. He's never been on the New York subway.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there was some guy, I didn't see the video. I guess there was some guy who, like, they were taking selfies or whatever, and the guy, like, shoved through LeBron or something.
Yeah, no. So this turned out to be a bunch of bullshit. So... you'll figure out why I'm so exasperated shortly. So
okay, I'm wondering.
There was a guy. LeBron is on the train, right? He's on the train with, you know, five or six other, you know, Cavs players,
right?
And actually, maybe it was more than that, but a bunch of Cavs players hopped the train.
It was the team.
I think it was like 15. I know they were leaving shoot around, heading back to their hotel.
Okay,
team bus was going to take 45 minutes. The train took 15 minutes, so they hopped on the train. LeBron, all his time in New York, has never been on the train before. First time experience for him. Which I thought was kind of odd, but I guess it makes sense.
When you get a limo wherever you want to go.
You know, or, you know, a team bus or what have you. So they get on the train, and LeBron, you know, pops out his phone and he's doing a, you know, Instagram live right. or whatever. Or I think it was his show, whatever, Unscripted or whatever, not Unscripted, but whatever his show is on Bleacher Report. He does a little like YouTube type series. But there's a guy sitting there who sees LeBron and company get on the train and then immediately kind of puts his hand up and then kind of shoves and gets out of the way and doesn't want to be, you know, in captured on them. Camera. Turns out the guy is a real estate agent and a comedian. And so he immediately puts out a video and...
Oh, this is going to go bad. I know where this... okay, go.
So he immediately puts out a video and he says he doesn't know who LeBron James is. And then they say, oh, he's an athlete. He's like, oh, I didn't know who LeBron James, the football player, was. And they're like, no, he plays basketball. He's like, oh, he plays basketball, apparently. So, and the guy intimates that he, you know, he might be gay and goes through the whole thing. I'm a gay comedian and blah, 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 blah. And it immediately, like, I just, the whole thing just made my blood boil. All right, fucking comedians are the worst. Like, I mean, it right. just, he tried to turn it into, like, this whole bit, right? It's just like, this is how I'm going to get my 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to not stand next to LeBron James. Now, listen, I get that not everybody knows who LeBron James is. I get that, you know, you're in New York, that it's a city with millions of people, and, you know, probably two-thirds of the people in the city of New York don't follow sports at all, right? And so I totally buy that this guy didn't know who he was, right? I buy it. I kind of buy it, except for the fact that he's a comedian, right? And I don't know. Just something about it didn't seem legit, sincere, or whatever. Obviously a media stunt.
Steve hates comedians, part 64.
It just, especially when it's just so blatantly obvious. I don't hate comedians.
I know. I love saying
bad
that.
Comedians, right? Like, I hate bad chefs, you know? Right? Like, I don't care that you're a chef. I hate that you're a bad chef, and I don't want you to cook me food. If you're a bad comedian, I don't want you to tell me your bad jokes.
Yeah. I did not know that. I did not know that part of it. And that makes it funnier to me that, because I was, look, even if you don't recognize it's LeBron James, well, first of all, if you don't recognize who it is, you probably don't try to capitalize on it. So I'm calling bullshit on that.
Right.
But, you know, that's funny. It's funny to me that that would be his angle. I'll look more into it and see if, as a comedian, I'm trying to put myself in a situation like if I get on a, you know, I share a cab with Tom Brady. I'm going to tell Tom Brady his balls are deflated, so I'll try to get my money that way. If you could see the stare I'm getting right now, it is fucking awesome. He's frozen.
I'm not frozen. I'm just trying to prevent from hurting you. Listen, like if the guy didn't want to be in the video, okay, yeah, fine.
Just don't get
in the video, right? But I mean, obviously, you wanted to. You know, I mean, I'm sure. If you look his name up, I mean, I'm sure he's plastered, you know, in a small corner of YouTube somewhere, you know, with some of his, you know, average to below average stand up. And okay, like I don't know. It was insincere and it was kind of bogus. I don't know. Fuck that guy.
All right. I'm fine with that. Anyway, so then LeBron goes, plays the Knicks, gets into a bit of a scuffle with a guard from the Knicks who was half his size. And Eric Cantor gets in LeBron's face.
Enos Cantor.
Enos? Okay, sorry.
Enos.
Okay, I'm sorry. And they get into a bit of a scuffle and a shoving match. I mean, nothing big, you know, happens in NBA games on a regular basis where guys jaw a bit and shove a bit. And then Peter Vesey tweets about that. Now, Peter Vesey is a 74-year-old white NBA commentator and a Knicks fan. And the quote was, are you digging it up? Basically, it's like, you know, LeBron shouldn't think he could intimidate that guy getting in the face of, and he put on his tweet N multiple asterisks.
Hold on. All right. This is not going well.
What do you mean?
So, I mean, you know, so Peter Vesey, let me help you out here.
Thank you so much.
And his exact tweet was like, Kenner's going to be too Enos Kanter is going to be too intimidated by LeBron. Enos Kanter stood up to Erdogan, who is the president of Turkey. So imagine him being scared of a nigga who breathes the same air as him. That is a direct line from a Biggie song. And so Peter Vesey, now let's talk a little bit about Peter Vesey. Yes, he's older. I think he may be
74.
He's 74. But Peter Vesey's been around a long time, and he is a noted diehard Biggie fan. Like, you are obsessed with everything NWA. He is obsessed with everything Biggie. He's a New York guy. He's played basketball with Dr. J, and like, he's a guy who's been around basketball and, you know, the Bronx and Brooklyn and Harlem, and he's just been around that element his whole life. And so if you know him, which many people do, because, you know, if you like the NBA, you read what something, you know, if Peter Vesey writes about your team, you read about it. It's been well documented that he's a Biggie fan, and so he's using a lyric and basically saying, I use the lyric as it was intended to be used, especially in a sport that it's used all the time. Back off. And
where do you stand on
that? I'm with him. It's fine. I mean, if knowing the person, knowing the intent, it's fine. You want to get on your racial high horse, not you,
right?
But if people want to get on their racial high horse, that's not right. If we really want this to stop, then okay. Right. Okay. Fine.
Go ahead. Say snowflake. Go ahead.
No. Okay. Fine. I'm not gonna argue with you on it, but just I'm not gonna listen to your argument on it. Right. Like, okay. I mean, I just like I'm not gonna fight you. You know, you want to fight that fight. You know, I mean, it's a lyric to a song. It's hip hop. It is what it is. Right. And so what do we want? Do we want people to accept? Right. Like, so from a racial standpoint, you want everybody to get along. You want, like, you know, like, white people love to tell you how hip hop is so should be, you know, it's the music of the streets, and we should culturally accept it. And if we don't accept it, then that means you're a racist. All right, well, this is Peter Vesey accepting it and using the colloquialism in an actual correct term and the way it should be used. So accept him for it, but accept you can't, because then you get on your liberal and you can't say this and you can't say that.
I saw a tweet that said, based on the number of asterisks, you can tell that he wrote ER, not A.
Yeah, and I think
that's the kind of person you're complaining about, I hope.
Right, exactly. I mean, and that's the sort of, you know, I think Vesey's response was like, fuck you or something like that.
It was basically I can't use rap lyrics, white people can't use rap lyrics, that's bullshit. Maybe he said fuck you to that.
Yeah, person, I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with it. I don't, you know, understanding the intent, I think that there are, you know, some people, like, my issue is don't come at me directly with the term, right? Like, don't come at me just because, like, you're gonna, you can, like, I'm sorry, I can compartmentalize, right? Like, I mean, my friends and family will tell you I can compartmentalize like no other person, right? I can separate things, like, in a pretty aggressive manner, like work, family, friends. Like, I separate my friends. I don't like my friends to spill over into other friends, right? I don't like certain foods touching each other on my fucking plate, right? Like, if I could prevent my ice cubes from touching in a glass, I would. So, you know, I can separate music from someone using, like, calling me a nigger or nigga or whatever. Like, listen, it's obviously an issue of contention in society. Don't call me that. But if you're referencing a rap lyric, I'm fine with it. Is it sane? I'm not saying it's necessarily sane. Maybe it doesn't make sense. But to me, I can accept it. I can accept rap lyrics all day, because to me, rap isn't real, right? No matter how often they tell you, this is real. No, it's not, right? Most of these guys are not. They've never been in a fight. They've never been in a gunfight. They've never been in a knife fight. They haven't been to jail. They haven't dealt drugs. They haven't done drugs. Some have.
Some have.
Some have. And some make the shit a little too real.
We're talking Biggie here.
Right? And, you know, Meek Mill tried to be real, and then, like, he ended up going to jail for it and is now going back to jail for it when he didn't need to. But point being, for me, rap isn't real life. And I don't care what they say in rap songs. Don't call me that. But if Peter Vesey wants to put it on Twitter, I don't have a problem with it. And, I mean, maybe that makes me the hypocrite or something.
No, I don't think it does. I think to me, it's hilarious that a 74-year-old white guy is quoting Biggie.
Yeah.
And tweeting it. And I will say this, from a Peter Vesey perspective, not necessarily the smartest move in terms of, you know, you're going to get some blowback. But then again, maybe it is smart, because suddenly you're getting talked about, you know. a lot more.
I don't even think this was like a, I know
I'm not saying it was a calculated. Yeah, he's not the comedian on the subway. I'm not giving him that same
right.
Label.
I just think for some people, a lot like especially on Twitter, people always go, "Oh, this is a calculated move. This is a calculated move." You know, maybe for a President Trump, it is. Maybe for, I don't even have a good other example. But for a guy like Peter Vesey, I think he tweets pretty consistently, gets a lot of follows, retweets, quotes, mentions, everything else. I don't think he's worried about his social media presence. I don't think he's worried about anything. The guy's a legend. I don't think he's hurting for money at this stage in his career.
Probably not.
At 74. I mean, I remember watching Peter Vesey on, NBA on NBC sort of stuff, back in when Ahmad Rashad and Hannah Storm were on, inside the NBA. So I don't think this is a publicity stunt. I think this is Peter Vesey being Peter Vesey and just kind of fired off 142 character tweet.
Now go up to 280.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I was tweeting something, and it went really long, and then I noticed the circle instead of the character count. You're right. Anyway.
Up to 280. All right. A lot of people are pissed about that. I'm like, I think it's awesome.
Whoever's pissed about it can fucking blow me.
All right.
I like to put out long tweets.
I do, too, and I hate when I have to, like push it into the next one. It's like, yeah.
Well, I won't push it into the next one. I will just cut that bitch down until I get my 142 characters, and it's like, I don't know if this still makes sense anymore.
Right, exactly. I'm taking up punctuation. I'm smushing words together, and it just where do 140? I don't know why 140.
Social media problem.
Exactly.
First world issues.
Totally that. Yeah, definitely the textbook definition of a first world problem. How many characters in my tweet can I get? Anyway, man, good talking to you. We need to tell everyone, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at Whiskey Congress on pretty much all social media, where you can email us at Jim or Steve. Well, Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com, Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. Please give us a rating on iTunes. We appreciate that very much. We've got a little bit of a spike lately. We want to keep that going. And that's about all I got to say, man. What about you?
You know what? Thanks for listening. Whiskey at Whiskey Congress Twitter, at Whiskey Congress Instagram, WhiskeyCongress.com is the website. Email us at Jim or at Steve.
No.
Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com. Sorry.
All right. And then also please check out our website. We share our thoughts and opinions on there regularly. And thank you again for listening.
We're working on bringing that up too. So
all right. Later, man.
Peace be with you.
Out.